Hello friends, before we get started on this next amazing episode, I just wanted to give a short shout out to our team at Metalcloak, the group that makes this podcast possible. From engineering to production, from marketing to sales, from accounting to HR, every member of the Metalcloak family works diligently every day to bring some of the world's best products to the off-road enthusiast. Designed, engineered, proven, Metalcloak. That is not just a clever cadence written by me, but a true statement of what we do every day and why we truly appreciate each and every one of you. If you are looking for something for your Jeep, Ram, Bronco, or Toyota, give us a try. We are here to help. And now, on to another amazing episode of the Modern Jeeper Show.
Yeah. I could see putting a couple of, you know, a little bit of armament on that.
Yeah, well, blood washes off aluminum easier than steel, right?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I think that's okay. Although it isn't that considered patina on steel?
The Modern Jeeper Show. The show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers.
Hello, Modern Jeepers. Mattson from Metalcloak here, and welcome to episode number 140 of the Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers. Congratulations again to the winner of the $5,000 giveaway, Colin Johnson. We will have Colin on the podcast next week to go over his build, his Jeeping history, and what his $5,000 prize package consists of. However, this week, Corey and Jesse are out modern jeeping with our friends on the Modern Jeeper Death Valley Fall Adventure, leaving me alone once again, twiddling my thumbs at Metalcloak World Headquarters. But I was able to convince one of our newest team members, Mike Upchurch, to join me for the podcast. Mike recently joined our team as the head of marketing and brand development for Adventure Rack Systems, our overlanding-focused rack brand originally known as Cargo Master Safari. Mike shares his background, including why he lived on a sailboat during high school, how speeding tickets led to the Navy, how he expresses his passion for the outdoors, struggling between his TJ and his Westfalia, driving party boats on the weekend, and how he snagged him for Adventure Rack Systems. By the way, this episode is going live on Thursday, November 11, 2021, Veterans Day. And I have a few things to share with you, including how you can support one of our favorite veterans organizations, Four Wheel to Heal. If you are listening to the pod and wonder what the F are these guys doing, you can see the full video in all its glory at youtube.com/modernjeeper. As always, we are extremely grateful to our supporters and friends, including Warren Winches, Raceline Wheels, Best Stop, Milestar Tires, Rugged Radios, Adventure Rack Systems, and of course, Metalcloak. So sit back, relax for the cold one, and enjoy episode number 140 of the Modern Jeeper Show. Well, hey, Modern Jeepers, this is another episode of the Modern Jeeper Show with me, Mattson from Metalcloak. Usually this is when I would introduce Corey and Jesse being part of the show, but unfortunately, they're actually out in Death Valley. So today I have right here our guest who, it's kind of funny because, you know, it's kind of like your kids who sit on the couch together and text each other, is Mike Upchurch, who actually is our guy with Adventure Rack Systems. He's in charge of all the marketing and the brand development, but you're upstairs, aren't you?
I am right above you.
So, but because I don't have a cool studio where we can just sit there and sit across from each other and have multi-cam views and all this fun stuff, I sent Mike upstairs into his offices there and get to be able to just join the show. So yep. It's remote, but not so remote.
All right.
So guys, so out here in Modern Jeeper world, you guys know about Adventure Rack Systems. We started Adventure Rack Systems. Well, we bought really a company called KMS, and that happened it started in 2019. Negotiations started. We closed the sale and the purchase in January 10th of 2020, with this whole big plan for what 2020 was going to be like and rolling out this new brand. And KMS's overall was a good brand, but we knew things that we wanted to do better. We wanted to improve some things. And of course, at the time, we thought it was kind of cool because KMS had two product lines. They had their sport line, which was made in China, and they had their US Mace line, the Pro line. And we were going to continue to maintain those two lines, right? And then, of course, COVID hit. So two things happened out of that. One, the desire to do business with China went through the roof. I mean, just for out the window, I should say. It was just no desire to do that. And then the desire to build up the American-made products went like, yeah, absolutely, that's what we're going to do. So we built on the Pro line for the JL. But again, 2020 was kind of a year of development because we didn't have a lot of chance to get out in the community, getting out a lot of chance to get out and do stuff. So by the end of 2020, we brought Mike on board. You know, before we talk more about Mike, we're going to introduce Mike here. We're going to talk about what his background is. I do want to say, when this episode goes live on Thursday morning, this will be November 11th. This will be Veterans Day. Now, Mike, you're a veteran.
I am a veteran.
Yeah. What did you do?
I was in the military, obviously.
Yeah.
Bad answer. In the Navy. In the Navy. Were you? That's right.
That's right. That's right. How long were you in?
I was in 4 years, joined in 1988, got out in 92 during the Gulf War storm.
What did you do?
I was a radar operator, also known as operations specialist.
Hmm. See, and I went in like my world of Navy. I probably would have got in a lot sooner. I like to say the story that had I read The Hunt for Red October when I was in high school, when the Navy sent me a letter after doing the ASVAB that they wanted me to join their nuclear program, and I went, oh, man, I'm not going to do nuke. No way. I probably would have said yes had I read Hunt for Red October, because then I would have been totally into the subs. I would have loved to just be a nuke on a sub. That would have been awesome.
I don't know. You're too tall for that.
I know. The 6'3" in me would have been very, very hard to do in a hot, yeah, hot bunk. But I did ultimately in when I was 27, I went in. So advanced program, APG at that time, advanced pay grade, went in as an IS, intelligence specialist, was that for 8 years, and then became a personnel specialist for the following 4 years for an air cargo group and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. So 12 years of playing around, mostly as reserves, which in the units I was a part of, it wasn't sitting around kind of twiddling your thumbs expecting to do something. We were actually, the intelligence unit I was part of was a production unit. So when we were there on the weekends, we were actually doing production intelligence work for the fleet. So it was, that was pretty cool. But nice. But this is Veterans Day. So all you guys out there listening, this is Veterans Day. And the reason I bring this up, not only because veterans and the work veterans do for our country is very, very close to my heart. It's always been close to Metal Cloak's vision of how the world should be, and for supporting people. But one of the things we've always done, and it's happening right now as you're listening to this, so if you're listening to this on November 11th, 2021, we have our Veterans Day sale going on at Metal Cloak and at ARS. Both sites have a Veterans Day sale going on, 10% off and free shipping. Now, what is special about this, very special about this, is that a percentage of all sales that happen today on November 11th, 2021, a percentage of all sales go to support Four Wheel to Heal. Now we've had, and I'll look in the show notes about the, and I'll link it up as to the previous episode, but we had the president of Four Wheel to Heal on our show some time ago. And Four Wheel to Heal is an amazing group. I've been out to events like King of the Hammers where they've brought people out. Just about everybody involved in Four Wheel to Heal is an amputee of some form. And we're talking like might just be missing one leg, might just be missing one arm, might be missing three limbs. I mean, these are incredible people. And Mike, I have not met more positive people in my life than I have when I've met vets who have lost limbs, who are relegated to bionic systems, to wheelchairs, to whatever it is. The outlook they have on life is freaking incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And it's they've done this. They sacrifice so much. And we talk about this, and it's sacrificing for freedom. And, you know, there's debates, and people can get into being kind of dicks about the idea of freedom. Like, I have my freedoms. What are you talking about? I'm not losing freedoms. But I'll be pretty blunt and honest with you. Had these men and women not taken the time to go out and actually sacrifice what they sacrificed throughout the history of our country, we would not be the type of country we are. there would be freedoms that you and I take it for granted every day that would be lost and gone because they, veterans of our country, have fought and willingly sacrificed to make sure that everything we have in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, just our basic existence continues to exist the way we as Americans expect it to be.
It's true. Yeah. My hat's off to all those people and to you again for your service as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, we had a few veterans here at Metal Cloak, and it's something that you brought up before. And we hadn't really, and it's just every one of them, and not only at Metal Cloak, but across the country. And there are some, there's a couple of veterans out there I know in a couple of competitor companies. And on a personal level, I'll go, yeah, you're a dick. But I will never, ever, ever invalidate the service you gave our country.
No.
And that's just incredible. So right now, guys, if you happen to be listening to this and you happen to be interested in something either from Adventure Rack Systems or Metal Cloak, go out there, place an order. I don't care if it's for a shirt or whatever, but everything you do today on November 11th for Metal Cloak or Adventure Rack Systems, again, benefits Four Wheel to Heal and the group and the work that they do, which is, again, incredible. Getting these veterans out onto not only building rigs for them, getting them out wheeling and doing it. And I'll tell you, the people that have founded the organization, still on service today, still in the Army, JP and his friends and the groups that put it together, and they do not do anything for themselves. I mean, I have offered to give them stuff for their own Jeeps, and they've said no, because that's not what they're here for. They very specifically have done everything they can to make sure that the organization benefits the veterans and its mission and its purpose, and not them personally. And it's just, they're just amazing, amazing people.
That's amazing. So,
and even if you can't support them with Metal Cloak, get on the website, check out Four Wheel to Heal, and find ways to support them and any groups. I mean, there are a lot of great veterans groups out there. Four Wheel to Heal happens to be the one that we would like to work with. So that being said, guys, we're that's happening today. Get out there and do it. You know, I try not to get too political. Of course I do all the time, but you know, you and I are both Navy guys, and I just can't avoid, I mean, Corey would be hitting me on the side of the head right now, but I can't avoid bringing up the fact that yesterday they christened a new ship in San Diego. The Harvey Milk.
I heard a little something about that.
Friends, fans out there, I know that not everybody that listens to us has the same political view as I do, but you know, I just wonder about a ship named the Harvey Milk. And for those who don't know who Harvey Milk is, there was a movie done with, I think it was Sean Penn or somebody played him, and it really didn't cover really who he was. 'Cause quite frankly, Harvey Milk, was a pedophile and a supporter of Jim Jones, who of course, you know, the Jonestown and drinking the Kool-Aid. In what world and what Navy do we exist, Mike, when a ship's named after a guy like Harvey Milk?
It's kind of interesting because, you know, all these big historical names find their ways onto ships. And that's not one that I would have thought of.
Right.
I'm sure there's others, but for whatever reason, that one just kind of popped up. A little red flag there. Weird. I don't know.
It is just a thing. I'm just going to put it out there. You guys can love me or hate me for saying it, but I just felt like I had to get it out there. Like, yeah. I would not want to be going around. Let's put it this way: when the Reagan was christened, and it came to be, and even to this day, the Reagan has the biggest MWR fund of any ship in the Navy, because so many people wanted a USS Reagan hat. Right. And wanted all the swag. They had so much money their first year that for Christmas, they bought a basketball court that could be torn down and built up. They gave away a Harley Davidson, a Chevy Avalanche, you know, like this was all part of their Christmas party fund. They had so much money. I don't know if there's going to be anybody out there buying like the Harvey Milk hats. And
yeah, I was stationed on board the USS Enterprise for my first 2 years. And actually did a world cruise on that. And I thought the merchandise on that one was pretty hot. I mean, everybody wanted Enterprise.
Right, you know? Right. So
we had five or six different colors of ball caps for the Enterprise. It was crazy.
Well, and for you, though, I mean, what year was that?
88 to 91, I think, is when I checked off.
So let's see. I got to check things out here. That would have been Star Trek 3.
Yeah, probably.
Is that Star Trek 3? Yeah, Star Trek 3. Let's see.
Probably right around that same time.
Right. So the Wrath of Khan. And then, it should have been 4, because 4 was the one where they went back and saved the... So Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home, 1986. So shortly after, that was that whole line of in there is like, it's the Enterprise, sir.
Yeah. There were a lot of fun puns the captains had during the cruises. You know, when we break away from underway replenishment, he would say, engage over the loudspeaker, stuff like that. Just fun stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, then, and I, wasn't it true that in Captain Picard's office, or what was it, or was in the boardroom of the Next Generation, they had the Enterprise, and then they had the other ships. They actually had the USS Enterprise as one of the ships in his line. So that's cool. Well, that's awesome. That's a great ship to be on. That's a great legacy.
Yeah.
So how does a Mike Upchurch go from the Navy to Adventure Rack Systems? So,
well, it could be a short story or a long one.
We have plenty of time. Well, we love long stories.
So when I was a kid, my dad had a dream, and he wanted to be, and my dad was prior Navy too, but he was in Airedale, stationed in Florida.
Nice.
So he never got to serve on a ship. That was always one of his things. And as he got out of the military, got married, had my brother, their first son, decided he wanted to build a boat. So he and my uncle decided to buy plans, learn how to weld, and they built 2 50-foot steel sailboats side by side in Carmichael.
Wow.
So I was four or five, six at the time. It took them 8 years to build it. We launched the boat in 1980-ish. I don't know. It's all a blur. And we would use it on the weekends on the Sacramento River for quite a while, until one day my parents decided we can actually save money if we move on the boat. So all through high school, I lived on board a sailboat. Now
that made you the cool kid.
It was. I was the only kid in school that lived on a boat. After graduation in high school, I worked full time as a delivery driver. And during that year, delivering blueprints around Sacramento, I accumulated a few too many speeding tickets and was getting my license revoked. And living out, kind of outside of town on the Garden Highway without a car when you're 19, not a good thing.
Right.
So my parents were out of town one weekend, and I went down to the Navy recruiter and talked to them. And when they came back, I was enlisted.
Nice.
So I upgraded from a tiny little bunk on a 50-foot sailboat to an aircraft carrier with a much bigger room.
Nice. Now, so you had your sea legs at an early day.
Yeah. So I did my 4 years, served more at the Enterprise than on board the Abraham Lincoln. Got out in 92, went back to school, got a degree.
Again, guys, Enterprise and Abraham Lincoln. I mean, these are the names. These are names that we expect to be on the side of a ship.
The Kennedy, the Roosevelt. I mean, it just makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I got out in 92, went back to school, got a degree in commercial recreation. And it's about when I met you, I think. And,
yeah.
Working for Sac State for Peak Adventures.
Right.
And so I've been involved with recreation, outdoors, been dealing with racks on cars since God knows how long. but then after a while of doing that, got into a bike shop, ran my own business for about 8 years, and that folded. So I went back into maritime. I mean, natural progression to go back to what I know, and that's the water.
Sure.
So worked on tugboats for a few years up in the Gulf of Alaska, Bering Straits, all over.
Was that kind of seasonal? Like you went up there, came back for a while or?
So I dedicated about 5 years to the Merchant Marines and working on getting my license to be a tugboat captain, ocean going tugs. Having some trouble with the family towards the 4 or 5 year mark, my wife wasn't really happy with me being away a lot. So we ended up decided to pull out of the tug industry and take a job locally, working for Hornblower in Sacramento. So I was running the show in Old Sacramento, 75-foot charter boat. And that was working good until 2020. and a floating bar on the river. Apparently not so good with COVID, so they shut us down for a while.
Yeah, they didn't know.
So
alcohol does really well with COVID, as I understand it.
Yep. Again, this whole period throughout my life, I've been in the outdoors, hiking, biking, skiing, anything with an ing on the end. I've always loved off-roading. Cycling is probably my biggest passion. But so, you know, chatting with you over the years and getting to know Metal Cloak a little bit more seemed just kind of a natural progression for me. As I'm getting older, I'm not riding and doing adventure hardcore stuff, so kind of getting more into four-wheeling a little bit. And so, you know, you and I being in touch just kind of opened some doors and the opportunity to get involved with you guys and come on board to help out ARS.
Right, right. Well, prior to that, and you were with one of my other favorite companies in the region, which is one of these funny companies where you go and you buy a product and you realize, oh, shoot, they're like just down the road. And that was Camprite. And yep. Camprite, guys, the tent cot, you've heard us talk about these because it's been a subject a few times on the podcast, you know, and I think the first time I got one, it's like this 90-second setup. Now for all of our listeners, you know that I've talked about this before, that when we first started doing the Jeeping world and I first started doing stuff, I was a backpacker and everything I had fit in my backpack. So I had my REI backpack, you know, with my tent, my food, everything in there. And I would just throw that in the back of the Jeep and then go out and go wheeling and pull up, pull everything out, set up my tent and set everything out and be it like a backpacker, then stuff it all back in and throw it back in the Jeep and wheel out. And literally, I think I wouldn't even strap. I think I put the back seat belt of my YJ through the straps on the backpack just to make sure it wouldn't go anyplace. And then as you start getting more established as a Jeeper and realize you got some room back there, you start thinking more about things more comfortable, easier to set up, easier to do. And especially when we got into things like going on Jeepers Jamboree, where we would go in early, like the night before, and stop in place and then go in again. It's like, I didn't want to do a full setup of a camp area, right? I just wanted to go in and do it and go. So what did I pick up? I picked up this Camprite tent cot. XL size, because you know it's there, and it fit perfectly in the back of the Jeep, on the back of the bed of the Jeep, fit perfectly there, and it was a 90-second setup. You pop it out, you open it up, you set it up in 90 seconds, you go, you sleep in it, you put it away, and you're ready to go.
You're off the ground.
Off the ground, and it was great. I mean, I still put pads inside of there because I'm just I was a big guy, and my back hates anything that is not padded. And other than the fact that, you know, in the mornings you wake up and you are really woken up by the drips coming off of the top of the tent on you, it was great. It was a great solution. So it was kind of exciting. One day I get a message from you, Mike. It's like, hey, I'm over at Camprite. I'm like, holy crap. How did that happen? But you know, it was a great company.
It is. Yeah. And I kind of fell into that. I was, laid off during COVID from Hornblower and, kind of just waiting around seeing if they were going to reopen, and about August of last year they sent me a notice saying, hey, we're just going to lay you off entirely so that you can get your cash out on your vacation and stuff. So I go, okay, well, I'm free and clear, I might as well look around. And reached out to Camprite because I found out they were local, and I said, hey, you know, this kind of company that I think that I could thrive at. And they just so happened to be kind of thinking about bringing someone on to help out with their product management, so they hired me as their senior product manager. And I got in there. I was there for a little under a year, and we made some big changes to the tent cot line, some of which still haven't rolled out because of the imports from overseas. And so they were struggling with some import issues, and it was just really slowing down. And that's kind of when I started looking around and reached out to you again to kind of get back into something that's kind of moving fast right now and keeps me energized. But Camprite's a great company. The tent cot, I was a little skeptical going into that. It's like a tent cot. I've never slept in one of these. It's kind of weird. But after playing around with them for a while, like it is a really cool product and inexpensive, so much cheaper than a rooftop tent and about 1/10 of the weight.
Right.
So great for Jeeping. You're right. It's a great platform.
Well, I've taken it like on the Death Valley trip. The last one I actually made it on, which was a couple of years ago. And that's it. Yeah, I had the tent cot in the back of the Jeep. I used the rack for just the other stuff, right? The kitchen stuff, the foods, the things sitting inside of containers, and my kitchen setup and everything else. But the tent cot was just easy. Pull it out, set it up, and you're good to go. And
yeah,
I've told other people this, rooftop tents are cool. I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Like,
you know, I just climbing up a ladder to get inside of a tent, middle of the night, climbing down a ladder, you know, to do the business.
Just, three or four times.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, age is coming up and it just was not my ideal scene. So I've always appreciated that. But yeah, then we stole you away and, you know, brought it over. And by the way, yeah, Mike is a Jeeper. Long before we brought him over here, you have a, what year's your TJ?
It's 03 Rubicon.
03 Rubicon. Yep. And you've done just about everything to it now, right? Like,
yeah, suspension, gearing, tires, wheels, fenders, armor, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I had a YJ for a few years, had a Cherokee for a few years. And then before that, I was on the dark side in the Land Cruiser world.
We don't talk about those days. But you know, your other favorite rig, which actually you drove today.
I did. You saw that out there.
I did. I did see that. I didn't. The TJ wasn't in. Usually he drives the TJ in. The TJ is fully cloaked. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You did a great job setting that up. But then you brought in your...
My 1982 Volkswagen Westfalia camper.
Nice. That's your other passion.
It is, yeah. And back to the Navy days, during my last year in the Navy, we were coming back from the Gulf War on these long, boring watches because we had been relieved on station and we were coming home. Had a lot of time to think about what I wanted to do with all that money I saved. And I started saving. I really wanted a Volkswagen bus and I wanted an old split window. So I saved every month until I got out. And when I got out, I went out and I bought a 1967 21 window bus.
Wow.
Beautiful. And I paid $3,200 for it.
Mm.
This was in 1992. So drove it for a few years through college. That was a lot. Yeah. But I realized I'm mountain biking. I'm hiking up in the mountains. That's not the car for me. So I ended up getting into Land Cruisers. Well, eventually I sold the bus to buy an engagement ring.
Nice.
let's not go there. And regretted it ever since. And so about 10 years ago, I got back into Volkswagens via the Westfalias and the newer ones, the Vanagons. So I had an 86 for a while, drove it for a few years, did a lot of campouts, love that rig. Ended up having to sell it to go back into maritime school. And then bought another one, fixed it up, sold it, and then bought the current one. So I've completely restored this thing. It's down to every nut and bolt.
So, you know, I haven't actually even sat in there, but I have driven the old Volkswagen buses, right? And there was something about being in the driver's seat of those. It just, it was phenomenal. I mean, just, you were right there in the front.
In front of the wheel.
It was just, it was a great experience, right? My dad had one for a short period of time. We lived in Wairika when I was in like fourth grade. So late 70s. For whatever reason, he had one for a short period of time, right? Front seats only. The back seat was, back area was completely stripped out, nothing in it. I don't know how, what year it was or how many windows it had, but he just had that for a short period of time during that period, just like he had, I mean, he had a Honda motorcycle for a short period of time that period. Like, because he worked at a service station or managed service station, stuff would come through. And he'd pick something up, buy it, and then sell it. And then pick something else up and buy it and sell it. I think the only thing, when we moved back to Sacramento, the only thing he kept was the 65 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
Oh, nice.
Whole nother story for a whole nother generation. Some of you guys, I may actually have talked about it on the podcast already. But that was, you know, that was just... But driving them, like I've driven them because literally it was from the service stations, like having to, growing up around service stations, drive customer rigs around and that sort of thing. Still so much fun to drive those. It's just a different feeling of being in a vehicle.
It is. Yeah. And this one, it was an 82. So in 1982, they were mostly air cooled, but this one was a diesel. Mm. So it had a 55 horsepower diesel engine when I bought it.
Wow.
Zero to 60 in 3 or 4 minutes. It was really fast and a plume of black smoke behind you. So I swapped out the motor with a Subaru from a 2001 Legacy, and now it's got about 168 horsepower. So it scoots. Super fun.
There's a little mechanic shop in Carmichael. It's a different shop now, but when I was in high school, they had it for sale. They had an old Volkswagen bus that somebody had dropped a V8 into. And it was one of those, I was tempted, like... And I'm glad I didn't, because, you know, it was probably headache after headache, probably didn't even run properly. But, you know, how fun. Yeah, just like that idea, like, oh, my God, taking something like that, that lightweight and throwing that much horsepower in it.
Yeah.
Dangerous combination.
Yeah, these buses, this West Valley is not very light, so you need the horsepower just to go. But it'll cruise up and over the Sierra at 75, 80, no problem.
Wow. So
nice. Definitely more of a daily driver now.
And you do a lot of the different overlanding events with.
Yeah, so that's kind of my overland vehicle, although it's two-wheel drive, and we take that thing way out in the middle of the desert. We're not doing any hardcore wheeling, obviously, but we like to get out in the middle of nowhere. So up in the Sierra, we try to find those roads that just take you out away from people. And it's fully self-contained. I got all-terrain tires on it, lift kit. And so we just go, try to get out as much as possible.
And what kind of equipment do you have in it?
I've got an auxiliary power system with solar. I've got LifePo batteries, a diesel heater on board, sink, stove, onboard air. I mean, you name it. So it's a great little two-person vehicle. It'll sleep four, but wow. That's a little cramped.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, where do you sleep four in that thing?
Yeah, when you pop that top, there's two more beds up top, but we don't sleep up there. We just throw our gear up top.
Nice.
But it's a great conversation piece. Everybody's got an old bus story, as you pointed out. I mean, if you get talking with folks, there's a great movie called, I think it's called The Bus Movie. It talks about how everyone's got a Volkswagen story because there's just so many of them. And you go back to its roots. I mean, everybody either grew up in one or ridden one or had a friend who owned one. It's just, it's a cool vehicle because it sparks memories.
Awesome. And is Volkswagen, I mean, they kind of came back. Are they manufacturing a version of that now, Vanagon or whatever?
They had the electric version of the bus that was supposed to roll out. And I honestly don't know because I haven't paid attention to the newer ones, but they are supposed to bring that into the U.S. at some point. I think it's called the California model, but it's a completely different beast, full electric.
What is the deal with the chopped compact ones? Like, there's been a few of them around. The little shorties are that's like aftermarket, right?
That's just someone shorting it down. I mean, the motor's in the back, so you can cut everything out and shorten it down, no problem. Just change your linkage. Yeah, they do wheelies. I think
that sounds sketchy.
I think the tattoo guy up in Roseville, I think he owns one.
He owns
Wild
everything.
Bill. Yeah,
he's Wild got Wild Bill. Yeah, you seen those little boat cars that he has?
Yeah,
like he brings out. It's got like a half dozen of them. I think he owns the entire collection of them in the world. Like,
I'd see him out on the river sometimes. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I've seen him. I've seen him go through some like parades and where he brings all of his little goodies out.
Yep.
Yeah, Wild Bill. So okay, so you end up over here at Metal Cloak and Adventure Rack Systems. And so what we did was with Adventure Rack Systems for our community. Originally, I guess it was CAMS. By the end of last year, we decided to change it. And actually, Adventure Rack Systems was the tagline for CAMS. So it was CAMS, Adventure Rack Systems was the tagline I had created for the brand. And as we were modifying and changing it, we decided just to go for it and switch everything over to ARS, Adventure Rack Systems. And then Chris, our primary engineer, who has a background in overlanding setups and rack systems for vehicles. He developed the JL one, which, you know, between the JK and the JL 2-inch tube rack systems, guys, if you haven't looked at this, the JL, that is the strongest rack system in the market right now. 2-inch tube, the way it's mounted in the front, the way it's mounted, about 800 pounds capacity. And I say that because we listen literally just not, and this is where I can be totally open. There's some systems out there, and I'm sorry, there's some pieces of junk that have been made that are being sold as systems. And I, you know, Mike, you have to be a little bit more, you don't have to be as vocal as I am. Cause, but our listeners know, and quite frankly, like the Gobi rack system, I'll be honest. Gobi is a great brand. And I mean a great brand from the standpoint that they sell a lot of product, but I don't understand it. I mean, we've had rigs come through with, I mean, Gobi has to use these standoffs just to make their rack not like move around all over the place when you're just driving down the road, and then to try to compare, put some weight and capacity on it, they use these standoffs. Well, like we have had rigs come through here where the body of the rig is dented because of the standoff. Right? Gobi had to create extra like skins and steel plates to be able to use the standoffs. It's thin tube. It's badly designed. It's super weak. I don't know how they claim the kind of weight they do, because if you actually use that weight capacity on it, you're going to damage something. The way they mount in the front just uses some of the stock little bolt holes, which are super weak on the front of a JL and a JT. And then what they've done overall. So it's just, it's pretty crazy that is what. Now there's some great companies out there. We have some good friends with some other good companies, but when you take something like the Adventure Rack System, 2-inch tube, solid mounting system that is just incredibly strong, you compare it to something like a Gobi, it's like, you know, I feel sorry for anybody that buys that stuff. And most of it, I don't know, is Gobi made in the US? I don't know. They might be made here, but.
I believe they are. I mean, those pier plates that we developed for the JL were a total game changer. I mean, that strengthens that front end of that rack quite a bit. So that's critical. And the way we mounted the rear, everything is just, our racks are pretty cool, I believe. So,
I hope so, because, you know, you're in charge of selling these things, right?
I believe it's a good product. Yes, I do. Yeah. And some of the new stuff we have coming out with the JT is pretty darn amazing too.
Let's talk about the JT, because you've just recently did a video on it. You guys can go over to youtube.com/VentureRackSystems, and you see the JT video you just did, just walking around, right? And by the way, the guys, I mean, this is all like new stuff. So there's just new videos being developed over there, and you can go check out some of the new products that are being put out there on video, or the new videos being done. But you just did for the bed rack system, which in the comparison of the marketplace, I think that bed rack system is sitting there as a premier product.
It is. Yeah. It's very well built. Chris did a great job designing it. Not only is it well built, strong, well made, I mean, it looks nice. So aluminum extrusions were really a nice touch on it. And then the ability, it's completely customizable with all the accessories. So we've got a lot of stuff rolling out for that. The side panels, the upper side panels, all that stuff is just really top notch. So I'm excited about it. Just hit the shelves, or just got released over the past few weeks. And so I'm expecting that to be a game changer for us for 2022.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It has so many different options. You can buy just the front and rear rails. You can buy the center section that actually just kind of completes the kit. Side panels with the extrusions. There's so many different accessory mounts that can go on. Mine is fully set up as on my JT as kind of a whole marketing kit. I've got the roto packs on it. I've got an axe. I've got a shovel.
Max Tracks. You know,
yeah, Max Tracks. I got the Max Tracks, which, by the way, are color matched with my orange and gray. That seemed to work out fine. All these different accessories attached to it. I mean, I'm going down the road. I feel like I'm kind of like, you know, important and cool, because I got all this stuff there.
Right? You're ready for the apocalypse.
Yeah, I am. Like, I need a little bit more, but, you know, I still need the way that the zombie killer front rack, right?
Yes.
You
know? Yeah. The spikes.
The spikes, exactly. Yeah. Those are the zombie catchers, right? You need the
the deflectors.
You know. So, as a kid, I was a big fan of Speed Racer, right? You know, it was like I was always determined I was going to end up having like multiple saws coming out of the front of my vehicle, because that's just, you know, because you can't have a race car without big giant saws sticking out of the front, right? It's cool. I mean, I got this full setup now. I also have the and we can talk about this, because this is new. And I do believe we're one of the only companies in the world that have done this, but is the cab over rack, which isn't yet on the website, but it's going to be out soon.
Right. Yeah. We're working on the details features right now. In fact, that's what I was doing before this. The cab over rack system is going to be pretty amazing, because Gladiator's a truck. You want to keep that truck bed available for maybe an ATV or whatever. So by putting a cab over system similar to the JK or JL over the cab of the JT, now you can put your rooftop tent if you like, or our new boardwalk system up there. That's another new one coming out. Mm-hmm. So now you have the whole upper section over the cab for whatever you want to do, and then still keep your bed open. So that's going to be an awesome product.
Right. And it's only a few bolts to remove it and take off your hard top. You know, Justin on his system, he went on Jeepers Jamboree. He had hard top off. Had the cab over system up there, so he's able to put things on top of it, which is cool. And it's so strong. I mean, we don't call it this, but I hasten to say it's so strong. It's almost like having an exo cage.
Right.
It just is one more layer of protection just in case something happens. But the strength on that and how it ties in is great.
Yeah.
Plus, you can still, you actually can, even though we don't promote it as such, you can actually take the Freedom Top off currently with the current setup. So makes it easy and convenient.
Yeah, and I think it kind of transforms the look of the JT as well. The JT is a great looking truck, but the cab is pretty boxy, and this kind of breaks it up and makes it look very, very tough. So right. I think that's going to be a game changer.
Plus, I love the big hoop in the back. Like I've got to get a couple of big round lights to put on the big hoop on the back, kind of old school style, right? I mean, ARS has built into the system ways you can put lights in, and there's brackets and stuff to put in lights to the front tube and the front hoop and all that. But I'm just going to go old school, put a couple of big ass lights in the back.
KC Dayladders.
Yeah, a couple of KC Dayladders, or from our friends at Baja Designs, and just big massive ones, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do you much good because you lose half of their light because of the cab, but it's not for function. It's for I just want that truck with the big lights in the back.
Yeah.
Right? The only thing I'm missing now is the 3-gun rack for my back window.
I think you were talking to the engineers about creating that old school looking roll bar with the double or triple bar.
That was my original hope was that I'd have the two tubes back there, two bars. And then you just slide one out to make a rack and slide it back.
Yep.
And then, but it would just definitely be that double. The only thing I wouldn't do is chrome it, but I might gold zinc it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That looked nice. I know Chris has been toying with another rack system for the back that plays off of that same design you're talking about. So
yeah.
Just keep your eyes peeled for that. But our box system,
I
think is going to be pretty amazing. That's basically, most people probably haven't seen it yet, but it's planks. It's aluminum planks that go across the top. You can buy them individually. You can also buy the ones that have the L-Track cargo system in them. Mm. So you can plank the whole top of your rack system and lash stuff down. And it just makes for a great platform if you want to get up and watch the concert or whatever it may be. So such a chair up there, watch a sunset. I mean, it's going to be really neat. And those are coming out here soon.
Well, you can do different combinations. Like you could have your rooftop tent.
Right.
And then you can create like a deck for yourself, right?
Yeah, we're talking about calling it the porch.
Yeah, exactly. The old porch system right outside of your rooftop tent. You know, we also have, and it's still very popular, and I think we're only one of the companies that have this, but we have the stealth system too, which I had on my JK when I had one of our now discontinued product lines, which was the low profile system that actually tied through your hard top into your cage. But the stealth system still goes in as a plank system, but between the two spreader bars, and it's a great little system because it's a low profile rack. I like the idea of being able to have something there. If you're not putting something big on top, having something that's a little platform, easy, sits back, especially on a four door, it works out perfect to have it further back in that area. Can't really see it. And it's very low profile, but it allows you to lash stuff down, allows you to have some goodies built back there. And I think it was a great little system. And that's probably one of our most popular accessories right now.
Yeah, that 2-inch tubing is strong. I mean, everything up there. And yeah, some people do like a thinner tubing look. Like, for instance, Gobi, you know, they're going for that look. But that stuff moves around a lot. Ours, you can grab that rack and shake the Jeep back and forth. It's stout.
It is stout. And for the JL, we've not only done not only the front hoop, but you've got, what, 4 or 5 different options for bumpers? I mean, if you have the below plastic bumper, we have an option. You have the stock metal bumper, we have the option. You have a metal cloak bumper, we have an option. You have another aftermarket bumper, we have an option. Different weight brackets and different systems in the back for holding that back hoop.
Yeah, I think there's a slogan there, like, whatever's on your back, we got your rack.
Yeah, we got your... there's something built there. We got your rack.
We got your rack. Yeah.
It's okay. So you're coming in with us. You got your Jeep, you got your wheeling. And of course you were out there at Skills Day this year, which was awesome.
Yep.
And your kid was out there doing the Skills Day, right?
He was. Yeah. I got 2 kids. My daughter's 23 and my son is now 18, and he's had a little bit more interest in the wheeling, than my daughter has, although she's driven my Jeep quite a few times as well. She prefers to drive it to work more often than not. But my son's kind of had a pretty keen interest in the wheeling aspect. So I've had him up on a few trails. We did Slick Rock a month or so ago and got him out on Skills Day. And I said, you're driving. I didn't touch the wheel all day. So it was fun to just kind of sit passenger and let him talk to all the all the folks at the stations there and kind of listen.
All volunteers.
Yeah, he had a good time and he learned some stuff and he did great. Like at the end of the day, we were just out messing around in some of the little Rubicon rocks and stuff, and he nailed it. So
nice.
Yeah. Nice. I like to get to the point where I could just be like, okay, you want to take the Jeep for the day and go do this? That's fine. You know, just don't break it.
Right. Well, the next step is doing the Rubicon. Well, have you done the Rubicon yet?
I've done parts. I haven't gone all the way through, honestly. I've been up to Little Sluice and around and back a couple times and been out of the slabs quite a bit. Yeah.
That's a good day run. You come out the same way through the slabs or you go down through Wentworth?
We went up Wentworth, came out on the slabs first time, and then went in on the slabs another time. And then done parts of Ford Ice and Slick Rock and stuff. So I still consider myself a newbie, but I've been around enough to know how to wheel, just haven't done a lot of it.
Right. So. Yeah. Well, that's it. I've been in this business 12 years and I wheel less today than I did when we started. Right.
Yeah.
And that's just a matter of time and energy and ability to just get out and go, but like, you got to prioritize it. Right. Yep. If you look at our lives, you know, you prioritize getting out. You know, you prioritize that as part of mountain biking, all that kind of stuff. In the early days, I'd come to you and go, hey, I need a bike. What do you recommend? Here you go. I kind of go out and ride with it stuff. But, you know, it's the thing is prioritizing your life and what's important. Yep. You know, now that I have kids, I'm trying to do that. Like, okay, go home, hop on the bikes. Let's ride around the block. Let's go do something. Let's get out and do stuff with it.
Well, I was impressed to see that you had 3 car seats in the back of your JT.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Very specially purchased car seats just so they would fit in the back of the JT.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like the wife wants to foster adopt another little girl. So we have 2 and 2. The problem is that just ruins it. Like we can't get anybody else into the JT. Right. Yeah. And I'm sorry, we're not going to go buy and stretch out a JL just to have a third row. I guess there was one at, there was a third row set up at SEMA last week. Not going to happen.
You know. Yeah, with the cap on the back.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to have to, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, start looking at the Grand Wagoneer, which I think is fascinating, dear modern Jeepers. Corey, you know, we'll talk about this next week, but the Grand Wagoneer looks like an amazing rig, looks beautiful. But not only does the commercial never mention Jeep, there's no Jeep badging on it. Like they're specifically creating somebody said Denali-like brand, like they're trying to create a higher end brand without actually using the Jeep brand. Like maybe that'll bring down the fact that they're charging 6 figures for it. I don't know. Huh. But it has lots of room.
Is that kind of like a Honda Acura thing or a Toyota Lexus thing maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ford's trying to do the Bronco, like build a totally separate brand that's built up. But I don't know. I don't know if the Grand Wagoneer is going to build out it, but you know, it's made by Jeep. It's sold by Jeep. It's just doesn't have the Jeep badge on it. It's kind of a weird marketing decision, but
we'll see what happens.
So, okay. So ARS, we're building up this product line. You've been out there doing stuff now. So you've been with us for now. What is it?
2 months? Yeah, around there. A little less than.
And really just been getting your feet wet on the product and on videos.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Learning the process. You know, there's a lot going on in this building. and just soaking it all up, trying to learn, you know, from raw materials to the end product, all the different stages, how we get that brought to market, learning about our existing marketing mix, figuring out who our demographic is, because ARS is a different demographic than Metal Cloak. Right. So trying to figure out how to best get the product out to them, addressing the now 7 B's of marketing and seeing what works. So throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks, playing around with TikTok videos, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I mean, sometimes we kind of throw something out there and it doesn't take. Another time we throw something out, like, whoa, that was interesting. So learning our demographic and dealing, building relationships with partners that we may not have done before. So, this new bed rack system, for instance, is one of those examples. So, it's been fun. So it's a learning curve. I love a challenge. I love being busy all week and feeling like I'm running in 5-6 different directions. And you and I talked about that whole entrepreneur mentality, and that's where I thrive. So it's fun. I like the company. I love Metal Cloak and everything we stand for. So it's been really fun.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. And I think that's good about our modern Jeeper community out there too, is like, we've even done some of the modern Jeeper ventures right now. As I said, Corey and Jesse are in the middle of Death Valley with some of our friends that are all running Adventure Rack Systems. In fact, Curtis, who's one of our good buddies, one of these days we'll get him on the pod. He's came all the way from the East Coast, and he's got a jail all decked out with ARS products. And you've probably, if you were out on the East Coast and you went out to Jeep Beach, you saw him because his rig was right there in the booth. In fact, he was at Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion as well. So there's a lot of, and that's, you know, that's what these events are about. These modern Jeeper adventures. Sure, sometimes they're just about rock crawling, but we try to get them all about this overlanding, about getting out and seeing the world, mm-hmm. right?
Exploring,
absolutely. So you guys will probably end up seeing Mike out there in ways, and it may be that I'll be tossing him the keys to the My Gladiator and say, go have fun someplace. almost happened, actually. You almost got a chance to go to Death Valley.
Yeah.
But there's just so much going on around here. Sometimes it's hard to get away. Again, priorities. By the way, if you catch up with Mike on social media, you'll find him doing other interesting and strange things, like last weekend donning the captain's uniform and running a ship up and down the Sacramento River.
Yeah, I still dabble in that now and then. You know, I have a license. I worked hard to get that license. So people call me and they're like, hey, we need help. I actually have a license that is ridiculously large, and I can go work on big ships if I wanted to. But I choose not to. I like small boats, and I like being on the river. And my old operation still needs me now and then. So I told him, I'll come down to work 1 or 2 days a week or a month. I mean, mostly on the weekends, but I love my weekends. So it's few and far between. Good people.
Well, it's fine. It's fun to be able to, I'm sure it's fun to be able to dress up in the uniform, get out there, play on the water a little bit.
Yeah. And that boat's a floating boat. Floating bar on the water, so you're out there with people who are having a good time. So it's a nice break from the norm.
That's good. Music blasting the whole time.
Oh yeah, DJ. Yep. City Cruises, Old Sacramento. Come check them out.
That's awesome. it's pretty cool having you on board. Such a wide variety of background, such a wide interest. Where do you see ARS going in 2022?
There's some new vehicles out, and we're working on those. So I think being able to become a full-rounded adventure rack company would be the end goal, to expand out and see what other markets we can serve, and also kind of smaller products that support overland and camping, four-wheeling, little products that everybody uses, you don't really think about that we could develop and get out there, I think would be kind of fun too. So obviously we're going to focus on the racks, rack systems, and tag team along with Metal Cloak with just kind of keeping the vehicle ready, but also keeping the people ready. I've got ideas on things that just make, four-wheel drive off-road camping, a little bit more pleasant. So, I think over time we'll come up with some neat stuff.
Nice. And as we end into 2022, and as you say, there's other platforms we're playing on, which, by the way, something we should probably mention just for, I know this is the Modern Jeeper group, which means most of our fans are Jeepers, but the bed rack system, that's actually a cross-platform, isn't it?
It is, in fact. So when we developed the bed rack for the Gladiator, we soon realized, well, it's also cross-platform compatible with Toyota Tacoma Gen 2 and Gen 3. So we just rolled that out. So we actually have an opportunity coming up with local video guy, YouTuber, Snail Trail 4x4. So he's going to be doing a video for us. That rack's going to go on to Tacoma Powered, another local Instagram favorite. And so the Tacoma world's learning about this product this week and next week. So it's going to be a big one. We'll be down at their big show in Benicia in a couple weeks. And so I think the Tacoma folks are really going to like this rack system. It just looks good. It looks good on a Toyota.
Yes,
we got it out there in the parking lot on one of our employees' rigs right now, and it just looks really nice. So I think it's going to be a win across the board for both cars.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's Bobby's truck, and it's kind of funny it worked out for him, because up till now I've given a hard time about having a Toyota truck and working with, and Bobby is one of our customer service guys and the guy who calls everybody when you make a place order is in the Metal Cloak and gives you a call and confirms your order and that sort of thing.
Bobby's so, pretty amazing.
Yeah. So it's, it is funny to have him. Finally, he can actually keep his Toyota truck and I can't make fun of him anymore because we're actually using it.
Yep. So, yeah, I'm excited about that opportunity just because, yeah, the Toyota group's a good group of people. I used to have Land Cruisers and I know that they're all good people and it's fun to get out on the trail and collaborate a little bit. And then, you know, being that these two groups that we're working with are local too, is nice, that hometown vibe. So,
right. Right. Yep. Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun to see. Plus there's just a lot of stuff going on. We'll get through through November, December. If you're in the region, we're definitely going to have a big booth out there at International Sportsman's Expo in January. Yeah. Which is the classic rainy, cold, but incredibly well-populated event. So it'll be cool to be out there. And then we're kind of looking at what to do. So if you happen to be out there in the world of overlanding and have some ideas or some events or things, because, you know, Metal Cloak goes around and we do the CTI trailer. We do a lot of different events across the country. But we do believe the overlanding world is a little different and, we're looking for invitations to come out and join you guys. And we're going to be doing events as well. But if you happen to have some stuff going on and you want to, have Adventure Rack Systems come out and be a part of your event, then feel free to reach out because, you can reach Mike at metalcloak.com. We have not given him an adventurerack systems.com yet.
Got to earn it.
Yes, right. That's right. We got to get there. At a certain point we'll be okay. Now you guys can have your own email, but, Mike at metalcloak.com. And of course you can reach me, Matt@metalcloak.com if you have any questions.
Yeah. And if there are some of those events, you know, the more, the merrier, that's more likely to get me into Matt's truck out there at your events. So.
That's right. That's right. Although I do have the broken windshield syndrome going on right now. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I let
John drive my JT and John, who again, one of our sales guys, his commute is about an hour, hour 20, something like that. And he had to drive my JT back and forth. Partly we were just doing some testing on it. And yes, a rock hit actually below the line. Like you can't even see where it hit. And then but it's been kind of following the crack. Like one day it's just up a little bit. The next day it goes over another 4 or 5 inches. Then as I'm driving, it goes another 10 inches and then it goes up and down and around. So yeah, it's just a thing. Jeep, thank you for giving us and giving glass repair companies a lot of work.
I think maybe our next lineup for 2022 or 23 should be the apocalyptic lineup where we have like the windscreen covers for the windshields and the zombie guards.
Yeah. That's called Fab Fours. We'll do the Grumper and the Vi-Cow and the, yeah. But, you know, it is funny. We have that rig, the Illuminator that we're building. And it would be funny to change the direction on that and just make it a zombie apocalypse rig instead of the beautiful aluminum tub rig that it currently is. Yeah. I could see putting a couple of, you know, a little bit of armament on that.
Yeah. Well, blood washes off aluminum easier than steel, right?
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I think that's okay. Although isn't that considered patina on steel?
Yeah. We get Woody Harrelson to drive it like out of Zombieland, and that'll put us on the map, right?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because my business partner Doug, one of his early investments was a college buddy who actually was in production, and he had a production studio down in LA, and it was and so he had borrowed some money from us. He was invested in it. And the guy had a few different contracts. He did the remake my mind just went blank on it. It was, what was that name? A Red Dawn. He did the remake of Red Dawn. And at the time he reached out and Doug was talking to him like vehicles. Cause you know, needed to have a truck or something cool that was rugged and sort of thing. We could have forced the issue because of Doug's involvement and had a Jeep in there, but it just wouldn't have quite worked right now, this day and age, we said throw a Gladiator out there and it'd been great. But at that time there wasn't a Gladiator. This was like 8-10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so it was, we just kind of let it go, but he did the remake of that. He actually ended up doing he was part involved in the, movie We Are the Millers, which was his breakout hit, over $100 million dollars in revenue and that sort of thing. So that was good. So Adventure Rack Systems, great future. I think 2022 is going to be awesome. It's great having you on board and great having you part of the process. If you guys, if our jobber community is listening, because we know many of you, the jobbers out there, listen to us, reach out. Mike will actually be reaching out to you guys and vice versa and stuff about being it. If you happen to have a shop that isn't necessarily do Jeep builds, but maybe your shop does racks or other kind of some things for vehicles in general, reach out to us. ARS is interested in working with you and being a part of your offering for those that are looking at racks and systems and other things for their vehicle. Because it's not just, you know, most of the Jeep shops out there, most of the build shops, they don't necessarily do the overlanding builds. They do a lot of the, you know, they're doing off-roading and suspension systems and that sort of thing. And so it's not necessarily their focus, but it's definitely something that Adventure Rack Systems is interested in doing. So you can reach out to Mike at metalcloak.com.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think that the jobber is a great platform because a lot of people buy these racks and are a little intimidated by the install process. So having a certified shop who knows the product, put it on for them, to win. So
absolutely. But plus the options out there. I mean, the reality is many of these shops, they want better options. And if you're looking at doing something, go to your local shop. And if they don't carry it, ask them to give us a call.
Yep. Support local.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All products, and of course, are now made, and I say now because we've been migrating over, are now made proudly in the USA, are here at our shop here in Rancho Cordova. So, you know, from that 2-inch 120 wall tube cage that can hold 800 to 850 pounds, static over 300 pounds dynamic. That's the right way. Static. Yep. Dynamic. Yeah. I get like back and forth, right? To the beautiful, beautiful mid rack system. We have a mid rack system and a high, that's what we'd call it, the mid and the high. Both the systems, the tall's on mine. If you have the mid on there, you throw a rooftop tent and it sits perfectly level. Still allows you plenty of room to get your refrigerator, other things out from your bed, which is we know is a big problem with some of the other racks out in the market. Plus it's variable. Again, you can use just the two bars going across. You could buy the whole system and then, yeah, you don't need to have the whole thing on there. You take the center section out and you just use the two bars, just like they're just to throw some lumber on or something.
Yeah. It could be a progression, you know, a customizable thing over time. So.
Absolutely. You can exactly build it up or just use certain parts of it when you need to, you know, hell, you could put the mid rack on just using the back bar. If you also happen to have the cab over system, you can throw your kayaks on there. You don't even have to have the second one, right? There's all kinds of ways for it to work. And that's the beauty of it. I love having that variable system. Mike, anything else you want to share about with our fans out there in the Modern Jeeper community?
No, well, just keep an eye on our products. We got stuff rolling out each week, it seems like. It's keeping me busy with writing new text, getting images, and building videos. So we're just kind of getting rolling. And I think there's going to be some new products. Chris and I are having conversations, Chris, our engineer, about new stuff daily. So it's just a matter of getting it onto in the computer and in the production line. So I'm excited. It's going to be a good year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it was great having you on board. And just remember, guys, again, today, if you're listening to this on Thursday, this is Thursday, November 11th, Veterans Day. First off, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. Love you all. Whether you've served, you've had family members or served, or somehow supported those around you that have served, happy Veterans Day. And remember, of that, all sales that happen today at metalcloak.com and at adventurerackssystems.com, a portion of all sales support Four Wheel to Heal. So pass the word. If you're not looking to get something, you know somebody is. Pass the word, let them know. Go to the Facebook page. You can see the graphics up there. Share that graphic out. Go to our homepage and see the graphic there. Just find a ways to let people know, because it's important to support our veterans and any ways we can do to support Four Wheel to Heal, we do. And, you know, by the way, we support Four Wheel to Heal year round in other programs and stuff. So this isn't just the only time we do things, but it's a great opportunity for you to support because of percentage of all sales. So get out there, let the world know. And to all that, Mike, you have anything else?
That's it. All I got. Thanks, Benson. I appreciate the opportunity and it's been awesome working here. I'm looking forward to a long future with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming out. It actually worked out great. And yes, one last thing you guys may have been wondering, We did choose our winner last week on episode 139, and that winner is now going to be on the show next week, where we'll talk about what he won of the $5,000 in products that he got, and then some for awesome. His Jeep. So make sure to pay attention. And next week, this week, and all of it. So as always, appreciate you guys being a follow with. Appreciate you all listening to what we do, and we'll see you on the trails.
Thanks.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2.